Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come, in your strength and your power. Come, in your own special way. Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. Please hold on. Who knew the song before today? If you know the song, raise up your hand, please. Okay, please put down your hands. I want you to write it down on your phone, on your iPad, on your notebook. Just four lines. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. First line. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Second line. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Second line again. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Third line. Come, in your strength and your power. Third line again. Come, in your strength and your power. And the last line, come in your own special way. Come in your own special way. So let's take it together. Two, go.
Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, we need.
That is our heart's cry, dear Holy Spirit, that you please come. We beseech you. Come in your own special way. Come in your strength and your power. Open our eyes to see Jesus. Help us to know you. Who can talk about you unless you talk about yourself? Reveal yourself and reveal the mind of the Father to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15. Acts, chapter 15. We pick some verses as a basis for the topic we'll be sharing on today. And let me give the background. The church was young. The early church had just started. And so for the first time, those who are not Jews were getting born again. And some Jews were insisting that they should be circumcised, as God gave Abraham many years before. And so Paul and Barnabas were sent from the church in Antioch, many miles away, to go to Jerusalem, to meet with the council, the governing council of the then church, the apostles, and they deliberated, and then they gave a verdict. So that is the background. We'll pick a few verses from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15. Let's start from verse 1. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Verse 2. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and to the elders about this question. Verse 6. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. Verse 22. We'll read on from verse 22. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them, and this is the letter, from the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. Verse 28, let us read together, even if you are going to murmur under your face mask. Verse 28, please read. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. I want to emphasize the first phrase. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. That will form the foundation scripture for our discussion throughout August in the Jesus Celebration Service and also in the Tuesday Bible study. The topic is, thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we say it together, please? Can we shout it out? Thank you, Holy Spirit. We see in this passage, the entire church then were faced with a dilemma. They didn't know what to do. They were confused. There were dissenting voices. There were arguments amongst the church. And so the apostles, elders, and the leaders of the church waited on the Lord. And they came up with this verdict. And what I want to emphasize is what they said. The verdict we are given, we are not going to concentrate on the verdict, on the doctrinal issue settled. That's the topic for another day. But how they settled it is what we want to concentrate on. They said it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So it meant that the early church walked with the Holy Spirit. They moved in partnership with the Holy Spirit. They didn't do anything without the Holy Spirit. They consulted the Holy Spirit. They depended upon the Holy Spirit. Nowadays, many of us do not even recognize the Holy Spirit. We don't know the Holy Spirit. And let me start by giving the background. I'm sure many of us have heard about the word Trinity. If you have heard about the word Trinity, can I see your hand up? God bless you. Trinity as a word is not in the Bible, but is a doctrine that describes the Godhead. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28 verse 19, where we have our motto in this local assembly for, which is making disciples of all nations. Matthew 28 verse 19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You see the Trinity. People get saved and they are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are we in church this morning? If you are watching us from home, let us recount the grace. Are you ready? The grace. Two, go. That's from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In other words, that's the Trinity again. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the three are one. And that's a doctrine that gives people who are of the other faith serious problem. God did not have a son. God is only one. But our God is one, but is three in one. God in three persons, blessed Trinity, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. In the morning, a song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty. In three persons, blessed Trinity. That's where that song was derived from. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And you may be saying, we didn't hear that in the Old Testament. Is it a New Testament occurrence? No. God has been one in three persons before the foundation of the earth was laid. Genesis chapter 1, the first verse of the Bible. First two verses. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Genesis chapter 1, from verse 2, we heard about the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, many times it was described as the Spirit of God. Sometimes it was described as the Spirit of the Lord. But it's the same Holy Spirit. It was before the earth was created. It's part of the Ancient of Days. So it's not a New Testament, a new doctrine. It has always been God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1:26. Let us make man in our image. God the Father was talking to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Right from the first book of the Bible. And you will see many people in the Old Testament who had relationship with the Holy Spirit. Saul, when Samuel anointed him, the first king of Israel, the Bible said, when Saul anointed him, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he started to prophesy. And people were asking, is Saul also among the prophets? Is that in your Bible? Because the moment he was anointed, it was written that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. That's the Holy Spirit right from the Old Testament. David, when he was anointed, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that is David, in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. 1 Samuel 16:13. What am I saying? The Holy Spirit did not come in the New Testament. He's been part of the Godhead before you were created, before the world was created. I'll give the third example in the Old Testament. I've told you about Saul, the first king. I've told you about David, the second king. Samson, who was one of the judges called by God to deliver Israel. Judges chapter 14, verse 6. Judges chapter 14, verse 6 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him," that is Samson, "and he tore the lion apart as one will have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand." You remember the mighty Samson? It was the Spirit of the Lord, it was the Holy Spirit working on him that made him to do the great exploits. You also can do great exploits by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So talking about the Holy Spirit, he didn't just come in the New Testament. It was all through the Old Testament. Later in the series, we will explain the difference from the way the Holy Spirit operated in the Old Testament and how he operated in the New Testament. So the Holy Spirit is God. Hello? The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Many times it is used interchangeably in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied. One place, Peter said, "Why has did Satan filled you to lie against God?" When the wife came, he said, "Why has the Satan filled you to lie against the Holy Spirit?" So God and the Holy Spirit are one and the same. And so it was promised. So the Holy Spirit is not it, but he. It came. You use it for an inanimate thing, an object. Holy Spirit is him, not it. He came upon me. I'm sure some of you still use it. And when the Spirit, it came upon me. Have you? Okay, if you have used it before, you raise up your hand. May the Lord forgive you. Your sins are forgiven. It's the time of ignorance. He's God. So it's not it, but him. And so God promised us the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts, the first chapter, I will read verses 4 and 5. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. "And being assembled together with them," that is Jesus, "he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.'" Verse 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So the Holy Spirit was promised by the Father. The Holy Spirit was promised by the Lord Jesus. And the promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord! Pentecost. Penti. Pentagon. 5-0. Pentecost is not a special name. It just means 50 days after ascension. Jesus died. 50 days after resurrection. Jesus died and resurrected on the third day. And for 40 days, he was appearing to the disciples. Then he ascended. This scripture I've just read in Acts chapter 1 was when he was ascended. He said, "The Father will send the Holy Spirit not many days from now." That was on the 40th day after resurrection. And the promise was fulfilled 10 days later. Pentecost, 50 days after resurrection. So you remember Acts chapter 2, the apostles, the leaders, and the disciples were gathered in the upper room, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. How many people remember that? And they spoke in tongues. We will be taking that later. So we have told you that the Holy Spirit is not a New Testament event or occurrence. He has been from the foundation, and he was promised, and the promise was fulfilled when on the day of Pentecost, when everyone gathered in the upper room, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues. So we'll be concluding on this question. Why the Holy Spirit? Because some people have argued, do you want to deshine Jesus? I've always known Jesus as my Savior. I love Jesus. So this Holy Spirit, do you want me to push my Jesus aside and now relate with the Holy Spirit? I would prefer Jesus, not Holy Spirit. Maybe you are thinking. But there's no competition in the Godhead. If you will understand. Hello? Where is God the Father? Where is God the Father? In heaven. Where is God the Son? Jesus. Where is God the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the one that is with us. God the Father sent his Son Jesus to show us the way of salvation. Very, very, I say unto you, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except by me. Jesus came to show us. And when he was going to go, he said, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter. We are going to read that. So when Jesus returned to heaven after the ascension, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came. So God the Father is in heaven. God the Son, Jesus Christ, is seated on his right hand. Is that in your Bible? It is the Holy Spirit that is with us here. Since he was sent on the day of Pentecost, he's been here. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father.
Thank you, oh my
Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till your work on earth is done. Leaving his Holy Spirit here on earth until the day of rapture. Until this work is completed. So God the Father is in heaven. God the Son is in heaven. The Holy Spirit is here. And we'll be examining his role in future messages. Please never miss any Sunday this month. Never miss any Tuesday online this month. So why the Holy Spirit? Why the force? Why are we concerned about the Holy Spirit? Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we'll read verses 16, 17, and 18. 16, 17, and 18. John chapter 14, verses 16, 17, and 18. Are we there, please? Please tune it, or you can check from the screen, but please let's read. And I will, Jesus talking shortly before he was crucified. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you orphans. Authorized King James says, I will not leave you comfortless. Hello? Hello? Anybody that does not know the Holy Spirit, does not relate with him as he ought to, will be living his Christian life like an orphan. Who is an orphan? No father, no mother. For those of us who are old, above 40, if you lose your father, if you lose your mom, you do thanksgiving. You thank the Lord. But can you imagine a child of 10 losing his father, his mother? Can you imagine a child of 12 losing her father and her mother together? Who will provide for our needs? Who? Without father? Is at the mercy of relatives. Who will show love? Have you eaten? Are you feeling cold? What about your headache? Who will show love to that baby? No father, no mother. Who will give direction? Do you want to study nursing or pharmacy or medicine or law? You are good in this. Why don't you do? Who will counsel? That is the life of a Christian who doesn't know the Holy Spirit, who doesn't understand the Holy Spirit, who doesn't relate with the Holy Spirit as he ought to. He will be living his Christian life like an orphan. Verse 18, John 14, verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you in the form of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we are like an orphan. No love. We cannot understand the love of God without the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He's our comforter. I'll read another scripture, and that should be the last before we close. John chapter 16, verse 7. If you want to know about the Holy Spirit, read the Gospel of John. John 16, verse 7. Are we there? John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus is saying, it is to your advantage that I go and the Holy Spirit comes. Authorized King James says, it is expedient for you. New International Version says, it is for your own good that I go so that you can have the Holy Spirit. What am I saying? The Holy Spirit is an advantage that is available for us. You know, you may be in a house. There's electricity. The bulb is working. The switch is functioning. And you do not know. And you stay in darkness for several days. That's the life of a Christian without relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's Christian. He's going to get to heaven. But his Christian life will be suboptimal. The word another comforter or another helper, I will explain and then we'll pray. I will hear. The first scripture we read in chapter 14 says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. Authorized King James says, another comforter. NIV says, another counselor. The words, two words translated, another comforter there. I will explain and then we'll pray. Are we still here? If you are here with the online, say, I'm here. God bless you. Another comforter is a translation of two Greek words, allos parakletos. Allos, A-double-L-O-S. Parakletos, P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S. You should see it on the screen. Allos parakletos. Another comforter. Let me explain parakletos. A paraclete in the ancient Palestine land. To understand the Bible, you need to understand the culture, the practices, the tradition of the people in that land. When a criminal is caught, within a few minutes, you stole a goat. Within a few minutes, they take you to judges in the area. If you're in Jerusalem, to the Sanhedrin. And they say, who saw him? Stole a goat. I saw him. Whose goat? It is Mrs. XYZ goat. There and then, if there are two witnesses, The culture says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. If two witnesses can come and say, the man stole a goat, they will give the required punishment immediately. It may be to stone him to death. It may be to flog him 40 times. If he had injured somebody, it may be to cut his hand immediately. A paraclete is somebody, after people have given witness against somebody, from the audience will just come out. Please, I want to testify for Mr. XYZ. I want to stand as a paraclete. I know Mr. X. We went to school together. We lived in the same house for 15 years. He had never stolen. In fact, there was a time I forgot my purse containing 20,000 naira. He kept it for me for 2 days until I returned. This man is content. He never steals. He cannot steal a goat. I've known him for 25 years. This man cannot steal a goat. And these people who have testified against him are using circumstantial evidence. So my lords, the judges, this man, from what I know of him, is not a thief. Based on the witness of the paraclete, because of his standing in the society and his integrity, if Pastor Olubanke can testify about Brother Shola must be good. Because I don't know Brother Shola, but I know Pastor Olubanke. So based on his integrity, if he can speak on his behalf as a paraclete, I will give him benefit of the doubt. Because of the witness, they will release the criminal. That's a paraclete, a standby, an advocate, somebody who talks on your behalf, somebody who intercedes for you when no, everybody has run away from you, who risks his life, his integrity to say, I stand by this sister, I will not deny her, I've known her, she's my beloved sister in the Lord. Paraclete, standby, comforter, intercessor, counselor, faithful witness, guarantor. You remember the Holy Spirit was described in the Old New Testament as the seal, a guarantee. So that's paraclete. The allos, there are two words that they could have used. One is allos. Allos mean another of the same kind. It could be another of another kind. If I used to have a Nissan car, Nissan Primera, and I come to church and I say, I've bought a Ford, I've bought another car, the pastors will dedicate the car. But if I used to use Nissan Primera and I come to church with a new Nissan Primera, I have another of the same kind I used to have. So, Holy Spirit is another like Jesus. I will pray the Father, He will send another comforter like me. I don't want you to be orphans. I don't want you to be without a comforter, without a counselor, without a guide, without a paraclete, a standby. I will send an allos, paracletos. Without the Holy Spirit, we are helpless. Without the Holy Spirit, we are comfortless. Without the Holy Spirit, we are like orphans. So we must know the Holy Spirit. We must relate with the Holy Spirit as God. We can receive comfort from Him. And that's why we say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because when you wake up, the Holy Spirit is here with us. You are just waking up from there. You say, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm up and hale and hearty this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You go to work and you come back. You are entering your house. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I went and I came back today. Those of you in the front line battling COVID-19, Lord, I have come back again. Holy Spirit, thank you. Can you say, thank you, Holy Spirit? Can you say, thank you, Holy Spirit? Come, Holy Spirit, we need you.
come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come in your strength and your power.
Come in your own special way.
Holy Spirit.
Just close your eyes and speak to him personally. You can speak in English. You can speak your native language. If you already have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can speak in unknown tongues. Tell him you appreciate him. Thank him for his role in your life, for being your comforter, your standby.
Please
talk to him in a personal way. Converse with him. Commune with him. The communion of the Holy Spirit. Communicate. Speak to him from the bottom of your heart. Close your eyes so that you can concentrate. Holy Spirit, say to him anything you like. He's God. Is your comforter, is your friend, is your standby, is with you. He will never leave you. The Bible says he's given for us forever. If you can pray in tongues, start to pray in tongues now.
Engralabaha Supreandorobahush, Jelabra Mahusa Talabaha Santaya, Embrobalo Breketolobo Sheketeye, Supra Libo Soprahantoriarabaha, Jeke Kenyanda Satalabaha,
Rabo sobrahantolia rebos sobrehande. Jeke keni hanto sebrahantoria rebos. Zeketelia rabaha.
Thank you. Please stand up now as we pray in tongues. Just stand up if you can.
Embrobo shakata labaha sontoye. Jekte rebos sobrahantoria rabaha. Jela breketolabo sobreketolobos. Zopremalobos sotokolia rebohush.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come, in your strength and your
Holy Spirit. Father, we are grateful that you not only give us your Son, but you give us your Holy Spirit so that we not be like orphans, so that we not be helpless, we not be comfortless. Holy Spirit, we are grateful that you have revealed yourself to us more today. We pray, oh God, that in our individual lives you will be real to us. That we'll be able to commune with you. We'll be able to communicate with you. You will be able to communicate with us and we'll be able to hear you. That we'll receive comfort, counsel, direction, help from you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, without you, we are helpless. We are comfortless. Please do not leave us like orphans. Be with us as we go today. Be with us when we are alone. Be with us when we're in the midst of people. Be with us at home. Be with us outside. Be with us in the night. Be with us during the day. Order our steps. Counsel us. Direct us. Help us. Comfort us. We love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.